Hello, everybody, and welcome to the latest episode of the You Should Run podcast. I am Tony Heil, Council Vice President in Bridgeport, Pennsylvania. And if you've listened to the podcast, you know that I've talked with people in every single state from Maine to Alaska to Hawaii to Florida and all points in between, from borough council like myself all the way up to U.S. Senate and many different kind of offices in between. And if you know me, which you probably don't, maybe only a little bit, I've been involved in politics basically since I graduated college in 2002. I went to Marist College. I still think back to my poli-sci teachers and like Dr. Myers and others who really helped to shape the way I even think about the world. I question what's going on and be inquisitive and listen to others and be engaged. And I think that, you know, I really appreciate the college education I got. It really set me on a path that I did not realize at the time. And I'm going to talk to someone else from my college who has walked his own path, literally. And he's going to be talking about his run for office in New York State. Tommy Zurhellen. He's going to talk about running for county executive. So, Tommy, thanks for talking today.
Hey, Tony. Thanks for having me on, man. Hey, I'm actually right down the hall from your old professor, Joanne Myers.
Yeah.
A lot of your old heroes are still here.
I think about her class often because she was not shy about her own political beliefs. She still isn't. But she also really encouraged everyone to read something that was against their own beliefs. That was something she's always pushed. Is she still like that?
Yep, she's still not shy, that's for sure.
Yeah, so when you get off of this, please tell her that I said spoke highly of her. So with all that in mind, you know, she helped us kind of make it a point to all of us that politics and government are things you can't really avoid. It's life, and this is just one way of engaging with it. But how long have you been involved in politics? I know this is your first time running, but have you always been engaged? Have you been do you volunteer, or has it really been off to the side?
Yeah, I've never been a political person. I teach at Marist, but I'm the creative writing guy. But this whole journey for me, you know, running for Dutchess County Executive, it started really, I guess, 4 years ago when I walked across the country from, Portland, Oregon, back here to home in Poughkeepsie, New York. And I did it for veterans to raise awareness on veteran suicide, veteran homelessness. And that experience, you know, changed my life. And, it's led me to a life of service. Obviously, politics is supposed to be service. And so that was 4 years ago, and when they asked me to run as the Democrat to run for Dutchess County Executive here in Dutchess County, New York, I felt the same kind of frustration that made me walk across the country.
Mm-hmm.
The frustration of the walk was, you know, I had become commander of the local VFW, Veterans of Foreign Wars, here in Poughkeepsie, and I would get a call a day from veterans who needed help, and we just couldn't help everybody. I got really frustrated. And now 4 years later, I feel that same sense of frustration. You know, when I got back from the walk, I started my own nonprofit called Vet Zero, and we do a lot for veterans and the homeless and also kids in our community. And things aren't getting done. So that same sense of frustration, I knew I could make a difference. With not just veterans, but everybody here, veterans, seniors, the homeless. And so that same passion kind of kicked in.
Yeah, I talked with former Congressman Connor Lamb on the podcast in early 2022. He's a veteran. He was running for U.S. Senate. And he was saying that the needs of veterans today are a lot different from 20 years ago. The veterans are different. They're younger. They maybe move around more. Were you aware of the differences of veteran needs before you started your walk, or did your walk kind of change, shed even new light on some of the needs that facing veterans when they come home?
Yeah, I mean, the walk was out of frustration, but it was also kind of out of embarrassment. You know, I'm a Navy veteran from the Gulf War, and here at Marist, I had no idea that there were so many veterans right outside my window here that needed support, mental health support, financial support. You never meet a veteran with just one problem.
Mm-hmm.
Connor Lamb's absolutely right. You know, veterans these days, you know, when we think of a veteran, we probably think of like an old white guy with a beard kind of looks like me, but our veterans, you know, one sixth of whom now are women and a quarter of whom are people of color. So, and our younger veterans, you know, coming back from Iraq, Afghanistan, they have different needs than the ones coming back from World War II or Vietnam or even the Gulf War, like myself. And that's why, you know, things like the VFW and the American Legion were used to be mainstays in our communities. Now the younger veterans really aren't taking advantage of that. There really is no transition for our veterans.
Mm-hmm.
They might already have a family when they transition from military to civilian life. And, you know, they don't know how to, you know, open a bank account and all these kinds of things and get a home loan or something like that. They have no idea. And so it can get really frustrating for them in a short amount of time.
And, you know, you're running for local office now. As you're walking across the country, you walked a lot around a lot of local communities, different states, of course. Did you see any places where you thought, you know, things they're doing things a little bit better here, or this is something where maybe other places should look to Wisconsin or look to Michigan? I don't know. Did you see anything along the way that kind of gave you an idea of, hey, maybe if we had more of this, we could help more people, veterans or otherwise?
The short answer is no. You know, the thing that surprised me the most walking, you know, 2,800 miles across America is so many people didn't know about the challenges facing our veterans. You know, we always say thank you for your service. And you know, through the media, we feel like we're doing a good job for our veterans. But most people didn't know about the 22 veteran suicides a day, which is double the amount of civilian suicides. And for women veterans, it's actually triple. And people didn't know about the staggering numbers of homeless veterans, 40,000 homeless veterans every night in America. And those were numbers that were calculated before COVID. So I can't imagine with the isolation and the financial matters of COVID that those numbers have had to go up. And, you know, we're lucky here in the Hudson Valley of New York State. We seem to do a better job of having services. But, Tony, the problem is not the services. The problem is connecting the veterans to those services.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard. You know, veterans don't want to ask for help. There's a stigma, especially with mental health. Veterans are the first to help, but the last to ask for help, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the problems is not, there's great programs out there. The VA has great programs, but connecting the veterans to those programs, getting them to see the worth of them and breaking down those stigmas, that's the real work.
You know, I have seen a lot of people who, like you said, like to say, we love our veterans, so they'll say thank you. And a lot of times, you know, the intention can be good. I don't want to diminish that. We should be thankful to people who serve. But then there are many people in Congress even who I've encountered who think that things like healthcare and research and things like that shouldn't be part of the VA budget. The military budget should be about bombs and bullets, right? Do you see that as an issue? Is that something where people are just too myopic when it comes to the military to think about the whole picture?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, it's election season now, and obviously I'm running for office. But veterans hate election season.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this before I was running because, you know, Veterans Day is November 11th, right around Election Day.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the 2 months or so before Election Day, everybody wants to take a picture with a veteran.
Mm-hmm.
You know, politicians will come to the VFW, and I've definitely been a part of this where people come and, you know, and they just want to take a picture and leave. And then you never hear from them again after, you know, Election Day. And there's so much work to be done, and yet everybody, you know, it's an issue that everybody can agree on. We need to do more for our veterans. No one's going to say we don't need to do more. But as far as like walking the walk and doing the actual work, people come take a photo op and then they disappear.
Mm-hmm.
That's not everybody, of course. I work with, for instance, Congressman Pat Ryan, who represents our district. He's a veteran, and, you know, he puts his money where his mouth is. Everybody knows that.
Mm-hmm.
But the vast majority, you know, veterans are not a photo op. Veterans are not a talking point. These are human beings that deserve more because they put their life on the line for our country. And you tell people that, and everybody agrees with it, and yet here we are with those numbers that we just discussed. We need to do a better job. We need people to step up, not just nonprofits like my nonprofit Vets Zero. We're talking every community can do more. But you're absolutely right, Tony. Everybody thinks we're doing a lot for veterans because we always see us thanking veterans in the media and things like that. But boy, if you look at the numbers, it's really a sad state of affairs these days.
Well, you know, you mentioned Pat Ryan, and I remember his special election because it was right after the Dobbs decision from the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And so it was a race that people thought, wow, if he can even keep it close, that's a big victory for Democrats. And then people were kind of surprised that he won. And he was not shy about what he believed. He campaigned on abortion. He campaigned on other things too, obviously. He campaigned on services. But do you think that there are trends from his election or lessons from that election in a swing district that can help other candidates like yourself lower down on the ballot?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, somebody like Pat Ryan, who is 100% choice, as I am, and lets people know that. You know, so I live in Pat Ryan's district. I knew Pat was going to win well before the election, although everybody thought it was going to be close, is because two things. One, here in the Hudson Valley, we've had a lot of people move up from the city for COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So the demographics have changed. Right now in Dutchess County, New York, we have 23,000 more Democrats than Republicans. Of course, there's more independents than both of those, but the numbers don't lie. And the other thing is people really do care about women's reproductive health, veterans' rights, all these things that Pat Ryan's talking about, and they have strong opinions on them. And he hit the lightning rod, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
When he started talking about women's health, and he took a stand. He said, "I'm for this. If you are for that too, I want you to vote for me." And sure enough, he won on those issues, and I'm very proud of him.
You know, you're a creative writing professor. That was one of the reasons I wanted to go to Marist, is I wanted to do creative writing, and that, I don't think it, I ended up doing other things. And not that I was a bad decision or anything, but I know it's always been a good program at Marist. But we just talked about Pat Ryan was very direct in his campaigning. You see things like the way that a lot of like Donald Trump and others have campaigned on a language level that's pretty low, let's say. How do you feel about political communications? You're not a political person by nature, you said, as a first time running, but there a lot of people love like these really creative ads or what was a really good flyer, like, well, it was written well, but maybe that's not the most effective way to win. How do you feel about communicating in a political way?
Well, I think you have to talk in a way that people can understand you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one thing, you know, I can't stand Donald Trump. I'll just tell you that right now. And I'm in New York. I grew up in New York City, so I haven't been a fan of Donald Trump for a long time. But the one thing that he does do well is he talks to people at a base level, you know, and he knows how to push people's buttons with just a few words. I am not like that. I am for speaking plainly, of course. But I'm not an instigator. I'm more like Pat Ryan, just talking clearly and broadly about the issues that we really care about.
So you're running for local office, and I think you probably realize this too. So many people just forget that a county executive or county commissioners exist. Why is that office important to you?
Well, first of all, it's county executive, so it's all about providing services to residents of your county.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it shouldn't be a political position, kind of like county clerk. Like, you know, you're Democrat, Republican, who cares? As long as you can get the services. But it has become political over the years. That's why.
I mean, we have a race for coroner around here. I don't really know how that gets partisan, but there is a race for coroner.
Sheriff is the same way. DA. These are all jobs.
Right.
You know, that my job as Dutchess County Executive is going to be making sure people get their services. You know, they're all going to call me. Pothole on your street, they're going to call the county executive. Cat up the tree, they're going to call the county executive. And it seems to me a big waste of time running, you know, parties running for this when it's all just about services. Basically, I'm going to be CEO of this county, making sure everybody gets their services. And of course, potholes don't have a color or a party affiliation, you know, so it's really important to me to treat everybody the same. That said, giving people like Pat Ryan and our state senator, Michelle Hinchy, here in New York, partners, true partners who are going to help them, you know, when they're trying to bring electric school buses, you know, to our school districts here in Dutchess County or something, they need a true partner who's going to be like, hey, what do you need? How can I help? Rather than somebody who, you know, plays politics or whatever. So I'm looking forward to that just because I know I'm a person who delivers and I like the work. I like to work hard for everybody. I don't care what party you are.
Well, I know that, like you said, you have a you're running for county executive. Where I am in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, we have a county commissioner system. Other places might have something else, county supervisors. But they hear from people like me who are on a local level, local office. Are you doing stuff like that where you're learning from the like the city officials in Poughkeepsie or others about local issues that, you know, often are tough to fund, get people to care about? Like, sure. Are there things that you've learned along the way already?
Yeah, I mean, the list of things that people need is long. You know, we're talking about broadband access for everybody. We're talking about, you know, emergency services for our rural citizens here in Dutchess County. We have we're talking about food insecurity for our kids in the city of Poughkeepsie, who many of them only have one meal a day and it comes from the school lunch. You know, these are real problems that we can solve, you know, at the municipal level. We're also talking about working with municipalities. And again, this is an education for me, Tony, working on ADA compliance, you know, the Americans with Disability Act. That's a municipal issue, but someone's got to step in and make sure that these towns and villages are compliant with making all public spaces accessible for all. And let's face it, the ADA was passed 30 years ago last month, this month, July, sorry. And we still haven't seen everybody comply with it. So things like that, I really look forward to working with our municipalities to make sure that they're following the law.
And I saw one of the things you're talking about are housing issues, which is really tough to figure out because it's not like I can cut taxes or raise taxes at one meeting, right? Like, good or bad, I can get a new trash contract. I can do a lot of things in a meeting. But housing, it takes time to fix that, no matter what. What's your vision? Do you think there are any, like, positive things that you can do in your if you get elected that can address the housing issues in Dutchess County?
Absolutely. And then, you know, Tony, that's our number one issue, workforce housing, affordable housing. There's three things that we're going to do from day one. One short term and two more long term. So short term, we want to keep seniors and those in a fixed income in their homes. You probably know the federal voucher program, also known as Section 8, you know, but that's based on fair market rent for wherever you live. The federal government sets that. But the problem with Dutchess County here in New York is the real rent, what people charge, is way, way, way above the fair market rent. And so we're never going to be able to use that Section 8 if we're not be able to bridge the gap. So our short-term solution is going to creating a flexible voucher program here in the county to bridge that gap between the FMR and the actual rent so seniors can stay in their homes. That's short-term. Long-term, we've got to talk to municipalities and try to get them to make modest changes to their zoning laws. That's the really only way you're going to get workforce housing. Let's face it, you can't have a workforce without workforce housing. Mm-hmm. And municipalities, and you know, it's not just New York. Municipalities are very conservative when it comes to building. When you say affordable housing, they immediately think like a homeless shelter or something. No, right. We're talking about workforce housing, so people don't have to drive an hour and a half to get to their job in your municipality, you know, where they can start a family. This is affordable housing. This is workforce housing. So talking to municipalities, giving them incentives to do that. And then finally, our county and probably most counties have what's called an IDA, Industrial Development Agency, which is basically a board that tries to attract business to your county or your borough, whatever it is. And we're going to use that to help attract not only business, but workforce housing. You know, try to get people to bring their projects here to Dutchess County so we can have families, you know, buying or renting their first home.
You know, it's interesting you talk about workforce housing because there's so many people talking about affordable housing. I don't hear the term workforce housing, and obviously I've heard it and understand it. But again, you're a creative writing professor. In order to pass certain things, you have to make them palatable to the voters, the taxpayers, maybe other elected officials. Do you see that kind of skill coming into mind where you know what it's like to tell someone, one of your students, hey, you want to evoke this emotion from people, think of it this way. Do you think you could use some of that, those lessons, and also from your own experience walking across the country, advocating for veterans, to help tell the stories that can pass the things you want to pass?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head right there, Tony. You know, whoever tells the best story is going to win an election. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a court case. You know, whoever tells the best story is going to win that case. It has nothing to do with, you know, who's right or who's wrong. And telling the story means, you know, not just telling your story, but the people that you're going to be serving, telling their story as well. And so part of being a politician, at least for me, has been getting out and meeting everybody I possibly can, listening to their stories. You know, you mentioned being a professor at Marist. I've been here 20 years, Tony. And the one thing you learn of being a good teacher is it has nothing to do with giving information. Mm-hmm. You know, a good teacher is somebody who listens. And you let the student or whomever figure it out themselves. Give them a safe space to make these connections themselves. That's all you really do as a good teacher. So I've been pretty much doing the same thing here on the campaign trail, listening to people's stories. Let them tell me their story. Find out what they care about. You mentioned workforce housing as opposed to affordable housing. Yeah, you say affordable housing to people, they immediately think like a homeless shelter or low-income housing or something in their community. We're not talking about that. We're talking about letting working families, you know, live where they work. What a concept, right? And so when you say workforce housing, it's a better chance that people are going to understand what you're really talking about.
Yeah, as you're talking, it reminds me when I was at Marist when 9/11 happened, when the attacks in New York happened. Wow. I still remember like all of the, because the TV was down, because the, you know, those were TV towers. So there were tons of rumors that day. You know, we weren't sure if we should have class. People were saying there were 12 planes instead of four. You know,
yeah,
and that was before
that
social media. But I remember not long after that, when the 9/11 report came out, they said that part of the reason why the attack happened was a failure of imagination that something could happen like that. As a creative writing person, someone whose job is to encourage young people to be creative, do you think that's missing in government? Like, we kind of pass the next year's budget based on last year's budget. We, you know, we fund the VA based off of, you know, the veterans we used to know, or people even say in the military, we're always fighting the last war, you know, the lessons from that. Can we use some creativity when it comes to governing, and how can we do that, especially on local
Absolutely.
Level?
You know, creativity, you know, I've been teaching it for my whole career. being a creative writing teacher. And what you're really teaching is, when you teach creativity, is problem solving skills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, trying to find a different way, you know, an alternate way to do something, you know. And when you do that, whether you're an artist or a politician, you're creating something new because you took the time to figure out something that other people haven't. And that's really what creativity is. And when I'm talking to my students or when I'm going to be Dutchess County executive, it's really about that problem-solving skill. So many times people don't, you know, they haven't harvested their creativity. They don't know what it means to be creative. And so, for instance, the solutions to the housing crisis that I just gave you about short-term, long-term solutions, that's creativity. You know, what do we got and how can we shape that to really help people rather than just go through the same old motions? You know, the people who have run Dutchess County have been in charge here for 32 years, if you can imagine that. That's a long time. And when that happens, you know, people get out of touch. They stop using their creativity because they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same old, no one's going to challenge them. But creativity is being challenged constantly. And that's your job as a creativity teacher, is to challenge your students or whomever to, you know, take risks, you know, get out of their comfort zone a little bit and see what else they can do rather than just going through the motions.
Now, the podcast is called You Should Run, so I always ask everybody, you've been involved in this process for a little bit, you've collected signatures, knocked on doors, met with other officials. Based on what you've seen so far, would you encourage other people to run for office, and why would you encourage them to seek office, whether it's county executive, state legislature, whatever?
Well, I had kind of a trial by fire. We have 300,000 people in Dutchess County, and so I'm actually at the top of the ticket this year for our county. You know, we don't have any congressional races or...
We're going to start with Z and then go down to A or just reverse alphabetical?
No, I mean, as far as, like, big positions, I'm it.
Oh, I know. I just, because there's not a lot of people running for office with
a
Z name.
Yeah, I got a Z in my name. Well, you know, I went to Catholic school. Now, they always did things alphabetically, so I always got to do my homework by the time they got to the Z, me in the back of the room. But as far as advice for people, you've got to have the right mindset. You know, would I do this again? I don't know. I think the only difference between me and 6 months ago is, you know, with all the work that I'm doing in the community, is now I'm taking pictures of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's really, for me, that's the only reason. You know, I'm running against somebody who, I know the person, they're a nice person, but they've been a politician their whole life. You know, and that's fine, but I just couldn't see myself doing that. You know, I'm interested in too many things. So when I win, obviously I'm going to do the job to the best of my ability, but, you know, I don't want to consider myself as a politician. So to answer your question, yeah, I think if you want to make your community better, you got to put your hat in the ring. But I also think that you have to have the right mindset and be ready to be challenged if you really want to win. Because I'm certainly being challenged every day when I wake up. All right, what, you know, not, you know, you've got to ask people for money. Who knew that you needed money to run a campaign? So all these things that you probably don't want to do, you're going to have to do. If you can get over that, great. You'll do a good job. But if you can't, if you know you couldn't do these things, then I probably wouldn't run.
So you're talking about being challenged. I got to challenge one word to use. And so everybody, I feel, says the line, I'm not a politician. The bad guys are the politicians. And, you know, that, oh, they're a politician, but I'm not. And people who are in office, I know people who are state reps who have been in office for over a decade who say, you know, I'm in office all these politicians.
They don't want to tell the story, right, that they're a politician.
But, like, you, when you're writing, right, whatever you write, you define the terms that are in that story or in that pamphlet or whatever. Shouldn't we reframe the word politician? Because it should be public service, shouldn't it? Like, if you're being a politician, shouldn't we look at people like John Adams or look at people like Lincoln or whatever and say that's admirable that they wanted to be in elected office? Whereas now we talk about it like, oh, it's scummy being a politician. And to me, that almost kind of pushes good people away from doing it or gives into the framing of others that government's bad.
You've got something there. You know, being a politician as opposed to being a public servant is you're running for office. So the politicians I know, and now that I'm running, I know plenty of them, you know, they spend at least half their time running for the office that they already have,
mm-hmm.
you know, re-election or whatever it is. And the other half or less than half working to help the people that they represent, you know, and if I win or lose, I know I'm going to be a public servant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a nonprofit. I love the work and it's not going to stop.
Great.
But the difference is, you know, you're always running. You're always trying to raise money and do social media and all these kinds of things because you want to get reelected. And I think a lot of politicians get caught up in that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they forget that the reason why they're there is to help people. And that becomes like a portion of what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it gets back to the problem with money in politics, the constant.
Sure.
I think a lot of people who are in public office don't like the constant campaigning. They like going to events, but it gets tiring to have to go to all of those things a lot of the time.
Tell me about it. It's very tiring. Wouldn't it be great if we had everybody had one term limit?
Well, on the other hand, if you had term limits, then who's actually in charge of things in the end, right? So
yeah,
there's no perfect system, but there is a perfect – one thing that's perfect is that people can reach out to you, maybe learn more, maybe be inspired, and maybe figure out why they should run for county office where they are. If people are interested in following you and your exploits, your work, what's the best way they can follow you and your campaign online?
Well, if you want to know what it's like to walk across the country for veterans' issues, you can read my book about it. It's called The Low Road. You can get it at any library. Again, The Low Road. You take the high road, I'll take the low road. If you want to find out more about me and my campaign, what I'm doing, you can just go to TommyFordDuchess.com. That's my website. And, of course, I'm all over social media. You can just go to type in Instagram, Facebook, whatever. Just go to Tommy Ford Duchess.
Well, I've been following Tommy. I really admire all you've done for veterans, what you're doing on a local level. And I know you're doing great work at Marist, which is the best college in the Hudson Valley, obviously.
Yay!
I once had to set foot on one of the other colleges in the Hudson Valley, and I still regret that, obviously.
Yeah, I really love Marist. I've been here 20 years, like I said, and I wouldn't change a bit.
Great. Well, you got there right as I left, which is unfortunate for both of us. But now we can be friends, and I can encourage everyone, if you're listening, maybe you should run for office, and you should reach out to Tommy and maybe be inspired as well.
Yep. You can send me an email. Just go to, you know, type in TommyForDuchess@gmail.com.
Thank you so much, Tommy. I really appreciate it, and good luck where you are.
Thanks so much, Tony.